Now come with me to the north side of Hanoi, where we explore the physical and environmental toll of the Vietnam War on this country. As we keep reminding you, dear listener, over a decade from 1961, the US poured an estimated 20 million gallons of defoliant onto the Vietnamese forests, plantations, orchards, rice fields and vegetable gardens. And I remember being reminded in the War Museum in Ho Chi Minh City that they came in all sorts of attractive colours, of which the most notorious was Agent Orange. Now, during this period, the US managed to destroy 2.5 million hectares of land in Vietnam, which affected vast numbers of Vietnamese soldiers and civilians, and, of course, Americans, Australians, Koreans, in the Coalition of the Willing. Wilfred Burchett wrote at the time, the official reason for spraying was that vegetation must be destroyed to protect the road from Viet Cong attacks, to deny them a hiding place. But the real reason was to destroy the people's livelihood so that they could be more forced to abandon their villages and move into the so-called prosperity zones. Almost 5 million Vietnamese from the poorest parts of the country were sprayed, and most of us know some of the horror of the birth defects caused by this dioxin. But Agent Orange is not the only destructive legacy, because the Americans also dropped over 15 million tons of bombs over Vietnam. And as we are constantly reminded, that's more than the total dropped on Europe during World War II. Chuck Searcy is a former Vietnam vet who has established two charities to help locals identify unexploded ordnance and get the required help. He's the founder of Project Renew, an NGO to clean up unexploded ordnance and provide medical assistance, rehabilitation, and some help with income generation for UXO victims. Renew's mission also includes support for Agent Orange victim families, and little wonder that he's been awarded Vietnam's National Friendship Medal. Chuck, thanks for your time. Do you agree with the Burchett's claim that Agent Orange was also used as a systematic method of destroying the livelihoods of the locals?
I think that's probably true. I suppose U.S. government officials even today would deny that, but it seems pretty clear from the history.
I understand that the coastal province of Quang Tri, being the location of the demilitarized zone, was the most badly affected by bombs and Agent Orange. How badly?
Well, I was never in Quang Tri during the war, so I never witnessed firsthand the consequences of the bombing campaign or Agent Orange at that time. I've seen photographs from immediately after the war, and the devastation of the province was immense. The place looked like a moonscape because of the bombing and the combination of Agent Orange, defoliation of the jungles. Before the war, I'm told that Quang Tri province had triple canopy jungle. That was totally destroyed, and what's come back since the war, the vegetation that's now fairly green and lush throughout the province, is new vegetation. So the forests are comparatively small against the jungle that was there previously. So the destruction was massive, and it, of course, as you mentioned, included crop destruction. which many people think is a war crime, and under international law it could be considered that. So it was Guangxi province has had a very slow recovery.
Chuck, how did you get into this work? I know you have a long record in human rights activities.
Well, I got into this somewhat, not accidentally, but of course the origin for my involvement is the war itself and my time in Vietnam as a U.S. Army soldier. And during that year, I began to realize that the war was a terrible, tragic mistake, and it was having at that time huge consequences for both Vietnam and the U.S., and has continued to have enormous and tragic consequences. Over the years, I never forgot that, and I was always conscious of the fact that Vietnam had suffered greatly. And when I had the opportunity to come back as a tourist with an old Army buddy, I saw both the devastation and the recovery that was underway, and began at that time to think maybe there's some way I could come back and help in that process in a constructive and a productive way.
Chuck, I've been asking about the attempts or the campaign to get reparations from the U.S., who used to argue that Vietnam was trying to politicize the issue. Are they still taking that view?
It has been a long and slow process, but the U.S. has gradually shifted its position from years ago, a position of absolute denial that the U.S. had any responsibility for problems related to Agent Orange, and in fact arguing that there were no problems related to Agent Orange in human health or disabilities or birth defects, even though the evidence was pretty overwhelming. And the U.S. did say that Vietnam is interested in reparations and compensation, even though the Vietnamese never said that. This was a judgment on the part of the U.S. without any evidence from the Vietnamese that they ever demanded that at all. But gradually the U.S., just because of the enormous moral persuasion, I think, from people around the world, decided that that we must accept some responsibility, and gradually the policy and the position have changed, and the U.S. now is cooperating with Vietnam in both cleaning up the hot spots, the areas contaminated with dioxin from Agent Orange.
I want to go back to some of those hot spots, but let's look at the legalities here, because there was a long fight by veterans in Australia to get compensation for what they suffered from the dioxin. But when American veterans tried the same fight, I understand the Supreme Court ruled that Monsanto and other chemical firms hadn't known that Agent Orange was so toxic at the time, therefore they could not claim.
Well, the Monsanto, Dow Chemical, and the other companies that were producing Agent Orange did know of the harmful effects of the dioxin byproduct of Agent Orange and other chemical agents. They knew very clearly because in 1968, a meeting of all of the manufacturers was called by, I think it was called by DuPont, a secret meeting to discuss the impact of dioxin likely on human health and the concentrations of dioxin in the Agent Orange that was being manufactured. DuPont urged the other companies to join them in reducing the temperatures at which Agent Orange was produced and the toxicity because of those concerns, and the companies disagreed because they wanted to produce it as rapidly as possible for maximum profits. So they knew, it's quite clear, they knew what the danger was, even though they may not have understood fully the impact that it would have on future generations.
It's only in the past year that much attention has turned towards helping the families who've suffered so much for so long. The U.S. now provides $21 million over the next 5 years. God, it'd be hard to imagine a smaller amount in the budget for expanded disability programs.
That's true, and that is significant only because it's the first time that the U.S. has agreed to provide some some funding for these seriously disabled families who have suffered for so long without much help from anybody. It's very little amount of money, yes. It's not enough, but at least it's a start. After 40 years, finally the U.S. government is doing what we should have done four decades ago.
You mentioned cleanup of hotspots. Probably the worst is the Da Nang Airport, where an $80 million dioxin remediation effort is just being rounded off.
The $80 million price tag has now gone up. It's now more than $100 million to complete the Da Nang dioxin cleanup project. Another hotspot that is equally serious, and maybe it's worse than Da Nang, not sure, is the Bien Hoa, former air base, U.S. air base in the south near Saigon. That site is larger and much more complicated in a lot of ways, and it's uncertain now whether the U.S. and Vietnam will agree to mitigate that site or not. There are a lot of complications there. It's under discussion, but that would be the next big step if everyone agrees.
Meanwhile, you're still wrangling with the American bureaucracies to get some of this money, aren't you? Because you'd like to get it through to help provide rehab and home help for Agent Orange victims here.
We have Project Renew staff, my Vietnamese colleagues, have decided that because we've had 14 years experience in both cleaning up unexploded ordnance and helping families who've been injured as a result of accidents, we have some expertise that we can apply also to families dealing with Agent Orange. So we've applied for funds from USAID, part of this $21 million, to do that. However, we've been rejected so far because, for some very strange reason, USAID has not classified Quang Tri province as a province that is eligible for this funding. And we have to go through the bureaucratic process of getting them to correct that before they will consider the funding.
According to the Vietnamese embassy, the U.S. sprayed 72 million liters of toxic chemicals in South Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos. Does anyone really know for sure how long the effects might last?
No, because we have not lived long enough to experience the termination of this problem. The consequences, unfortunately, seem to be passed from generation to generation, and that's the worrisome part. The Vietnamese, who monitor this very carefully because they have an estimated 3 million victims here, believe that the consequences of Agent Orange not only pass from one generation to the next through the genetic transmission, but also that the effects may seem to skip generations. So one generation might be born healthy, and then the offspring of that generation might have enormous problems again. And it's very difficult to explain all of that. There needs to be a lot more research done, of course, but the circumstantial evidence is very strong that this is a major and continuing problem.
Do you know of any American research at universities across the states that might be looking at this?
I'm not aware of research that's underway right now that very likely could be and should be, I hope, but I'm not aware specifically of research that's being done. For a long time, the question of research was used as an excuse for not doing anything related to Agent Orange. In fact, the U.S. government argued that we don't know that there's a direct correlation between Agent Orange and human health problems, disabilities, birth defects, because there's not been enough research. But on the other hand,
that sounds like the cigarette industry arguing there's no established link between smoking and lung cancer.
It's very much like the 50-year argument about cigarette smoking. And, you know, we may never know with 100% certainty what the consequences of Agent Orange and dioxin are, But when you reach a certain point where the circumstantial evidence and other and scientific research that has been done points rather conclusively to an effect, then you have to accept that.
I understand the Vietnamese government has established a peace village which hosts up to 100 victims, giving them medical and psychological help. Do you know about this?
Yes, and it's not the only one. There are a number of facilities around the country, some of which are called peace villages or friendship villages and rehabilitation centers. There's one near Hanoi that you're probably referring to, which is quite well known because it has been sponsored by veterans organizations, Vietnamese veterans, American veterans, Germans, Australians, Koreans, veterans from around the world who have supported this facility outside of Hanoi, which treats and provides services to children who are presumed to be affected by Agent Orange, and also veterans.
Our program has done quite a lot of on cluster bombs, as used in the Middle East, where, of course, these great big bombs spawn bomblets, which years later can be picked up by a curious child and who were then killed or badly maimed. In this province, the U.S. dropped mainly cluster bombs, I understand.
That's true, and cluster bombs are a horrendous weapon. There is no excuse, justification, moral reason under the sun for ever using cluster munitions, because they are directed against an innocent civilian population. They are extremely dangerous for children. They really have no military purpose. They're designed to maim and kill, and they really are a terrorist weapon, even though used by industrial strength institutions and nations. The U.S. used massive quantities of cluster munitions in Vietnam and in Quang Tri province. Project Renew's work has concluded that there's about 30 to 40% of all the casualties in Quang Tri province and throughout Vietnam have been caused by cluster bombs.
They're still discovering thousands of bombs a year in Germany, for heaven's sake. Wars have a long afterlife. This province saw some of the heaviest fighting of the war, Khe San, Rock Pile, Camp Carroll, and the U.S. Department of Defense estimate 10% of the ordnance dropped did not detonate.
That's true. So there's a tremendous amount of ordnance lying on the ground or just under the surface waiting to blow up and to maim or kill farmers or children or anyone who happens upon this lethal weaponry. And we have found that teaching the children and the adults how to be safe and also how to participate in solving this problem, that is, reporting the ordnance immediately and accurately, has brought the accident rate way down, almost to zero. So that is the...
Public education is the first weapon.
That's true. Ironically, that's the best weapon we have against these awful weapons, is teaching the children and the adults and recruiting them to be the eyes and ears for the cleanup teams, the EOD teams, explosive ordnance disposal teams, that then respond to the calls, destroy the ordnance, and people can go back to the normal activities within hours.
We did a program on hero rats a couple of months ago, bred in Africa, able to be trained to detect landmines and, of course, light enough to walk on them without detonation. Do they have a future here?
It's possible. However, the hero rats story is quite popular at the moment. I've seen it quite a lot on the internet, and people have questioned me about it. They do work, and they're quite effective in some environments. They're primarily useful in an environment that's contaminated by landmines. In Vietnam and in Laos, the problem here is primarily unexploded ordnance, which was dropped from airplanes, bombs and artillery shells, and shot from big guns. So most of that, the heavier ordnance is fairly deep underground, so rats can't detect that. They can detect primarily mines, and they're not so good at other types of ordnance. We are now testing in Quang Tri province, along with our partner organization, Norwegian People's Aid, NPA. We're testing dogs, which is another alternative that's quite effective in many countries. When that test is over, then the Vietnamese will determine whether they want to continue that as a policy and a practice. But we're always looking at all methodologies that are appropriate for dealing with this problem. But different countries have different circumstances, so it's, one size does not fit all.
You're winning, aren't you?
We are winning in the sense that the number of accidents, injuries, deaths has been dramatically reduced since we started Project Renew back in 2001. At that time, there were 50 to 70 or more accidents per year. And in the last 3 years, there have been, in the whole province, only 11 incidents, and the casualties have been minimal. Our goal is to get that number down to zero.
How are your activities funded?
Our funding at the beginning of Project Renew came from one family foundation in the U.S., the Freeman Foundation, very generous people who had a strong connection with Asia, and from one highly successful American veteran, Christos Kotsakis, who was in Quang Tri province, who was wounded in Quang Tri province, and had been very successful in business in the U.S. And so Christos put up $250,000. The Freeman Foundation put up $250,000, and we got started in 2001. Over the years, we have had funding primarily from governments, from bilateral donors, and in recent years from the U.S. So we get substantial funding from the United States Department of State. We've had funding from Norway. We've had funding from Taiwan, from Japan, from Ireland. And MIVAC, an Australian Veterans Organization, has supported our work in Quang Tri province. So we have a lot of small donors, $50 or $500 or more, and then we have a few large institutional donors that support the work. But ironically and appropriately now, the Department of State, U.S. Department of State, is currently our largest donor.
Do you think the United States learned much from its misadventures in Vietnam?
You know, in 1975, when the war ended, I remember the day that the tank famously crashed through the gate of the palace in Saigon, and the war ended. And I was, as a veteran, I was so overcome by relief and gratitude that the fighting and the killing had stopped. And at that moment, I thought, if there is anything of value to come out of this tragic, terrible, awful situation for so many years, it is that we Americans have learned our lesson. This kind of thing will never, ever happen again in my lifetime. And how wrong I was. It has continued over and over and over. We make the same terrible, tragic mistakes in countries around the world. You can look at the globe and point your finger everywhere, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, now Syria, you can just go down the list, and we have not seemed to learn anything about other people, other cultures, other nations, and the aspirations of those people. And we can't dictate to the rest of the world what they must do, and we cannot continue to hide behind false labels such as terrorism to cover everything as a blanket excuse for any sort of military action. So sadly, we haven't learned much from Vietnam, and Vietnam could have taught us so much if we had just paid some attention. But that has not happened, and we seemed to be making the same mistakes over and over again.
Moved Chuck, seconded by Philip, carried on the voices. Chuck, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Chuck Searcy is the founder of two NGOs to assist with the removal of unexploded ordnance and to deal with the victims of that and also Agent Orange. For details, please visit our website at abc.net.au/rn.